The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
A warning from Jace Medical. Even if the war stops, the real shortages won't. Because of how slow ships move for most of this war, the U.S. was still receiving oil that set sail months ago. But other parts of the world are already feeling it. Asia, Europe, Africa. That's why prices are rising now, because demand is increasing as supply tightens. But the U.S. is just beginning to experience the real shortage, and even if things stabilize, the ripple effects will last for much, much longer. Oil doesn't just power your car. It powers the systems that make and deliver your medications, and when supply slows, access becomes less predictable. The difference between panic and peace is preparedness with Jace. The Jace case is a doctor-prescribed emergency supply of essential medications and prescription antibiotics delivered right to your door so you're already ready when you need it. Get your Jace case today at Jace.com.
Now back to On the Block with Eric Strickland, Jay Foreman, and Austin Orman.
Welcome back in to On the Block, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. This segment brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Check them out online, heartlandofnebraskawindows.com, for more information. We are headed to our Allo VIP phone line as well to welcome in Mr. Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald, who was out there at Big Ten Media Days in Las Vegas. Crossed paths with Evan a couple times. Evan, how was your trip to Sin City? Everything go well for you there, and you make it back all right?
Yeah, it was great. Stayed in the Mandalay Bay Resort and had a little fun. Finished slightly ahead, which is always always good, never a given at a place like that. Actually, the return flight, I got back a week ago tonight, on a Wednesday night. There were some real severe thunderstorms and went through some turbulence and finally landed like between cells after midnight. So a little bit of an adventure there toward the end, but it was a good trip, worth it, and here we go for football season.
Would you rather have an adventurous flight or an adventurous night at the tables?
I mean, I want the flight to be as boring and as routine as possible. If I had never had another flight story, that would be fantastic. Yes, give me all the table stories. Occasional setbacks are fine as long as you're at a table with some fun people and can learn a few things. I'll take the table stories every day.
My table story is I put a dollar in on dollar slots, spun once, didn't get anything. And I said, screw that, I'm out. I can't do it. You know what? It's boring. It's lame. I get it. You know, you gotta risk something to win something and all that. But I just couldn't do it, Evan. So I'm down a dollar officially. Down is down, but it's only a dollar. So I can walk away feeling okay with myself.
And did you bet when you were out there for the Crown tournament, did you put anything down?
No, actually, I didn't. That probably would have been the better opportunity to do it. But I was solo. That was my first time in Vegas. That's probably time to get lost. But I also just had no idea what I was doing, where I was going. So I decided to play it uber safe and then really stepped out on a limb with that $1 the second time.
Okay, well, you're working your way up. Next time it might be a 10 or who knows what that'll look like.
We'll have to see. If Tony Petitti has it his way, though, Big Ten Media Days is never going back to Las Vegas. I thought that was an interesting sort of kind of hardline stance for him to draw. I get it with the logistics and everything going on in Indianapolis, but Evan, I really thought it was a really well-run event, maybe a little pricier than Indy, maybe not an ideal setup, but I really thought there wasn't anything bad about how things ran in Vegas for the conference. Would you agree?
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, I was a fan of the Indianapolis setup. I liked being on the field, and it made a lot of sense to be there geographically and everything. But no, I thought, you know, getting to Vegas was very smooth. The setup was right by the airport. There was plenty of space for all the television obligations that players and coaches had to do. I thought the kind of the main foyer outside the ballroom, it was a nice setup for just talking to the side or off the record with different people. So that all made sense. And it's a 18-team coast-to-coast league now. So in some ways, it kind of felt appropriate to be in a place like Las Vegas there too. So I know it wasn't the show in town. It was probably barely even a show in town, given everything else going on at Vegas there, but or that goes on in that city. But I thought it was well run, and that we got a chance to talk to everybody that you wanted to, and it did kind of feel like the unofficial start of football season. So if you ask PJ Fleck or Brett Bielema, I'm sure they would love to go back. I know Matt Rhule wasn't a huge fan of that location, so I would imagine we'd be back in Indianapolis in the future, but having Vegas as a safety net's not the worst thing in the world either.
I completely agree. It's Evan Bland of the Omaha World-Herald joining us here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Let's talk about football now that the season is indeed officially here for Nebraska and teams across the country. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. Evan, what are some of the storylines that you're monitoring early on here in the first few days of fall camp?
Well, just how some of the different position battles begin to shape up. You know, I think the offensive line, how that comes together is interesting because you do have so much depth there. I mean, even the position that's maybe the most unsettled there at right tackle, you're going between a guy like Tyler Kanak, who may get the first crack at it. You also have Gunnar Gatula, who's been a starter, and Teddy Prochaska, who's been a starter. And if and when Turner Corcoran gets up to full health, like, he's done it on the edges as well. So there's just kind of how they parse through that, I think, will be interesting. Certainly the tight end room to me is one of the most intriguing position groups on the team. I mean, we heard from Luke Lindenmeyer on Monday, who's a clear leader of that group. He's kind of the resident veteran, but there's so much intrigue behind that. You've got these uber athletes like Heinrich Harburg, who's learning the position, and Carter Nelson, who really bulked up, and he's still only a couple years removed from playing eight-man football as a, you know, skinny kid who really hadn't lifted weights in high school. You know, you've got Mac Markway, who's healthy, a former four-star who played at LSU as a freshman. Like, that gets your attention. So how that position group comes together. And then I think, you know, the running back position or job behind Emmett Johnson is fascinating too. I mean, does Quentin Ives continue to settle into that kind of short yardage red zone role that Dante Dowdell handled so well last year? Matt Rhule mentioned Mekhi Nelson as sort of a home run hitting type back. Does he emerge? And then Isaiah Mosey, who makes the switch from receiver to running back, former four-star kid, tons of talent. Is he able to maybe make a move here in the next month to be included on that depth chart before the Cincinnati game? So just a lot of stuff like that. I think it's interesting to see kind of that second wave of guys beyond maybe the obvious starters who are able to make pushes and who maybe will earn themselves the chance to come in the middle of the season when maybe injuries or other things provide them opportunities.
Maybe the two most obvious starters, Dylan Raiola at quarterback and then Emmett Johnson at running back. Let's stick in the running back room. Even though Emmett Johnson seems like he's the no-doubt starter, Matt Rhule has said as much. Evan, how confident are you in Emmett Johnson's abilities to be a feature lead running back over the course of a full season against a Big Ten schedule?
Well, I think in terms of health, like, you never know. It's the running back or that position in the Big Ten. You're going to get banged up, and so you're going to have to take care of your body pretty well. What's interesting about his prospects this year to me are how does he fit into the Dana Holgorsen-style offense over a full season? And really, I mean, you can, when you look back at those three games that Holgorsen came in and called games for Nebraska, like, Emmett Johnson was among the biggest beneficiaries in terms of total touches. He was more active.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro. Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper. without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
Is in the game as a receiver. They used him in more creative ways. So I think that's maybe the most exciting thing with Johnson is we've seen what he can do around the edge, between the tackles, and you would imagine that there would be some evolution or progression in his game there. But then just, again, how creative can Nebraska be in using him as a receiver? They like his game as a pass protector and picking up blitzes. I mean, that's a key part of that evaluation too, but just he's an upperclassman now, and this is still a pretty young roster. And I know he has said he wanted to be more explosive and turn some of those 10-yard runs into 60-yard runs. Like, is that something maybe that's a little bit more part of his game moving forward? So I think he's clearly one of Nebraska's more well-rounded running backs, and now it's just a matter of where and how often they get him the ball, and I think he'll be ready to make some plays and probably quite a few yards after contact.
I'm also curious to watch the almost the opposite problem for the wide receiver room, right, where there's one mouth to feed right now with the running back position, Emmett Johnson, then we'll wait and see how it shakes out. But a lot of talent that Husker fans and the coaches seem excited about at the wide receiver position. That's not going to be an easy task for a new receiver coach, Dakell Shorts, and then Dana Holgorsen to, I think, Evan, get that buy-in, right, from that deep core of wide receivers. It seems like Dana Holgorsen's offense is one that will feature a guy if he's hot, but will also not be afraid to spread the wealth and share the ball. But, man, for a coach like Dakell Shorts coming to maybe the biggest job of his life so far at Nebraska, to get all those guys to buy into the success of the room versus their personal stats, Nebraska either A, better hope it has the ball a lot on offense to get all those guys in, or B, that Dakell Shorts really knows how to manage personalities and reps and roles.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, it's an attack where you've got a lot of new faces, a lot of new perspectives. I mean, Holgorsen's still been there within the program less than a year. I mean, he always choked. He didn't know guys' names really until the spring. You've got Shorts, who was a relatively late addition in the off season. Or, I mean, I guess he was around for the bowl game a little bit, but he was still learning groupings, and a lot of these guys are transfers when you talk about Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter. So the spring was an important time for them. I think this next month is going to be an important time for them, too, who had off-season gains that were notable. You figure Dane Key, with the experience that he has, is a clear-cut starter at this point. And Isaiah Hunter's interesting because he had a really strong freshman year at Cal, but he's still a pretty young player. So, like, what can he become in the next year is fascinating. I think you almost forget about Ja'Cory Barney as the leading receiver for Nebraska, who's back. I mean, he was electric in a lot of ways for the Huskers a year ago. I think they used him very creatively, almost out of necessity at times, where you saw him on sweeps and almost kind of de facto run plays just to be a spark. I don't know that they're going to have to use him so much or in so many different ways this year. I think he is destined to be a pretty effective slot receiver type. So we'll see how that goes. The other thing that's kind of interesting is, like, you almost do see, I think it'll be interesting to see how the receivers and the tight ends sort of fight for prominence within the offense this year, because Holgorsen, I mean, he has a history of adapting to his personnel. And I think if you look at the makeup of the offense and you say, hey, maybe Nebraska's best offense is when they've got two tight ends out there, maybe Luke Lindenmeyer and Carter Nelson, for example, I think you've got that kind of battling against the notion of, hey, is Nebraska going to be more of a three receiver sort of attack based on what they have with personnel there. So I think that's the other thing to watch, is where does the depth truly lie between those two positions? It does seem like maybe receivers a little deeper for Nebraska. Cortez Mills, true freshman, is another one to watch. for sure, but it's just so important how this next month plays out in terms of practice, I think, when you start to piece together what the offense is going to look like this season.
We're almost out of time, so we'll save the defense for our next conversation. But let's get a special teams question in there just for kicks, no pun intended. Were you as impressed as everyone else with ambipedal punter Archie Wilson, the Australian freshman?
First of all, great use of that word. And second of all, yes, it was cool to watch him in the little session we had on Monday working on the side field. And he goes back and he punts with his left foot, and then he's punting with his right foot. He's rolling out both ways. I thought he looked... Yeah, for a true freshman coming over from another continent, like he looked very athletic and like somebody who Nebraska can do a lot with. I mean, Matt Rhule spoke to it later that day. Like, this is a guy who can roll out both ways, who can throw it a little bit, who's athletic enough to maybe on occasion pull it down and run, and that's going to stress some defenses. If nothing else, it's going to make you maybe a step or two slower defensively when you talk about how you're trying to defend him. So, really positive first impression there. We'll see how that progresses, but it's certainly a different operation than Nebraska's had, and maybe one that can help turn the tide a little bit with how special teams have been in the past.
You just said the words defending the punter, and I think Nebraska fans just recoiled at the thought because they feel like they're becoming Iowa. But no, I do think that's been a missing weapon, as funny as it is to maybe say, Evan, that Mike Eckler might actually have on his hands.
Well, I mean, he's very convicted about it. Like, Nebraska had brought in a punter and made a change based on how convicted Mike Eckler was in that strategy, and the numbers bear it out. I mean, not only was Tennessee pretty good at returning punts, but they really limited opponents in doing that. And when you look at the Big Ten this year and this massive middle class between teams like 5 and 14, maybe, like, there's such a small margin for error. It was that way last year. I think that same group of teams was all within 3 games of each other. It's going to come down to a block punt here or better field position there. And if Nebraska and Eckler are convinced that this is the way to go, and again, Eckler's track record at Tennessee would indicate as much, then maybe that's the kind of thing that can swing a game or two. And I'm still in the camp that says if special teams this year just is not a liability, like, that could be worth a game or two for Nebraska. And if it becomes better than that, then you start to get into the territory where people are really optimistic about the season. So it's certainly different than what Nebraska's done, and based on their recent history, I think that's a pretty good thing.
I was going to say, difference is probably a step in the right direction, almost no matter what. That's Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald with us here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Evan, appreciate it. Hope to see you around at some practices and continuing our conversations throughout the fall. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Austin.
Evan joined us again on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. That's where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart. We'll bring Jay Foreman back in to wrap up on the block, get you set up for old school with Foreman and Norman right after this.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro. Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.